This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Jonathan Von Tobel of Eason will join us. We'll go over all of the games from Tuesday, react to those, and look ahead to the games here on Wednesday. And I will start here just with a thought on the games on Wednesday and some of the draft stuff, the lottery, which was obviously a wild night, and some of the fallout from the lottery, because I do think there's some betting implications from that. But first, let's get into the games for Wednesday again. We'll react to everything that happened Tuesday in just a little bit with JVT. Knicks and Celtics. The Knicks look to go to the conference finals for the first time since the year 2000, 25 years. It has been, and they are a 4.5-point underdog. The total's 207.5. I understand it's sports. Sometimes these teams that, you know, you think, oh, they're down and out, they lost their best player, it surprises you sometimes. They'll rally and they'll play a good game. I could see that with Boston. That being said, I'm not laying 4.5 with them. They just have not been the tougher team. Who knows where they're at from a psyche standpoint with Tatum being hurt. I think the Knicks smell blood here, and I will take the 4.5. With the Knicks, again, I wouldn't be surprised. Celtics are favored. I wouldn't be surprised if they won this game. And then it's no guarantee that the Knicks, you know, win game six and win the series. Like, people have already penciled the Knicks into the next round. That's not look, you got to win four. They've won three. You got to win four. And I know Tatum's out, but Celtics still have a good team. But I would take the 4.5 here. And I do have a feeling the Knicks win and close this out in game five here. But it'd be interesting to see how the Celtics react here. With no Tatum, and look, tough situation. One of the best players in basketball was having a great game. Really, that's one of the better games you've ever seen him play. I remember the year they went to the finals and lost to the Warriors. So that was 2022. He had a great game against Milwaukee when they were down 3-2 in Milwaukee, faced elimination. He just put the team on his back. This was a similar game. He was incredible. But and look, they weren't winning this game anyway. But obviously, sad to see. And I, you know, look, as tough as it is. Can't hear any complaining from the Celtics fans. Oh, it's too bad. We're hurt. First of all, you were losing the game anyway. You're going to be down 3-1 in the series anyway. And you were the beneficiary of all of the injury luck in the world last year. Everybody in the East got hurt, as we talked about. And then once you got to the finals, you played a 5 seed. So what goes around comes around. I don't think they were winning the game anyway. They weren't winning the game anyway. I don't think they were winning the series anyway. We'll see if the Knicks can finish them off and go to a conference finals here. Timberwolves laying 11.5 against the Warriors. That's a lot of points. I don't think it's enough. And the Warriors finally did get over their team total for the first time without Curry. It had only been 2 games without him, but they had gone under both times. And they put up 110 and almost covered at the end in what would have been one of the all-time bad beats, because that was a game that was completely over, not just in terms of the game, but in terms of the spread. Then all of a sudden you look up and it's a 7-point game and they're shooting a three to cover and possibly lose by only 4, but they missed badly. But this series is over. Warriors just look, their young players are too young and their old players are too old. I mean, Butler and Green have been playing every other day here since the Rocket series. Butler, for a guy who talks a lot, by the way, 14 points in a game they absolutely had to have at home in game four. I think I said it on the Monday show. Saturday, game three, that was the game they had to have, because they got a good game from Butler, a really good game from Butler. They were up late. You knew you weren't winning both these in Minnesota. You're overmatched, undermanned. You had a chance to steal one. And when you're the lesser team and you have a chance to steal one, you got to steal it. And they weren't able to do that. And they got run out of their own building in game four. I would expect them to get buried again here in game five and go pretty quietly into the night. I think Minnesota, this will be a coronation here for the Timberwolves, who will go back to the conference finals with a win here for the second time in a row, second time in 2 years. A team that's not had a lot of success historically. Went a long time, even those Garnett years. I famously only won, I think, 2 series with Garnett. Garnett went a long time without winning the series. Hadn't done anything since. And here they are on the doorstep of another conference finals. I don't think they're going to the finals, but you know what? The way these playoffs are going, and injuries and just unpredictability, who knows? You get there and you kind of hope for the best. I remember last year, they had home court against Dallas when they lost in 5. So Warriors team total under 95.5. I would go back to it, even though they scored 110 on Monday in game number four here. I just think this is the first game without Curry on the road, first full game without Curry on the road. They're just not a lot of options. They're trying the Kamingas of the world and the Trayce Jackson-Davis. There's just not a lot of ammunition here. So, again, it would be all Minnesota for me. Minnesota minus the points, under 95.5 team total for the Warriors. I think this is a run out here and a decisive victory for Minnesota. I actually might look to tinker with some alternate spreads too. I never feel like you get fair bang for your buck with these. That's the only problem. But I would not be surprised if Minnesota won this game by 20, 25 plus points. Would not surprise me at all. And I don't think the Warriors are alive to win the game. So that being said, the story of the last couple of days is the lottery, and Dallas with a 1.8% chance, as you've seen, I'm sure, 1,000 times by now, wins the lottery. So I guess all's well that ends well. They trade Luka. They get basically not nothing back, but a very diminished return, and all of a sudden they end up with Cooper Flagg. I know it's suspicious, and if you ask me Monday night, hey, do you think this is rigged? If you gave me truth serum, I would say 55, 45, yes. I'm now like 60, 40, no, just because the more I think about it, first off, it'd be so obvious to rig it. It'd be almost be too obvious that they wouldn't do it, but think of all the things that had to happen. They couldn't have gotten this pick unless they missed the playoffs. And in order to miss the playoffs, Anthony Davis had to get hurt. Kyrie Irving had to get hurt. And even still, they were one win away from getting there, and they lost that last playing game to Memphis. So you're telling me, like, before that game against Memphis, Jason Kidd tells his team, all right, we can't win. Go out there and lose on purpose because we're going to get Cooper Flagg, or go out and lose on purpose because I can't tell you why, but just trust me, we got to lose. That seems far-fetched. It just seems like in this day and age of information, is the juice really worth the squeeze to rig it to help Luka? And I know the conspiracy theories are it goes back to the trade where the league tells Dallas, hey, we need to get Luka in a better environment, and we need the Lakers to be boosted because they're mediocre now. Look, they had LeBron and Davis. It's not like they're floundering, and they've been through worse days. So I don't know if that part of it adds up. If you send Luka to the Lakers, we'll take care of you. You scratch our back, we'll scratch yours. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it certainly seems fishy, 1.8%, and it certainly seems fishy, but it just seems too far-fetched, and it seems like too many things had to happen for it to come to this. And we're of the age now where no matter who won it, if the Spurs won it again, it'll be rigged for them, and I'll get to the Spurs in a minute. If this team won it, obviously Utah was going to win it. They've never won. They wanted to hook up Ainge, all this stuff. I do buy the conspiracy theories a little bit that the league doesn't love the idea of these teams that tank, and those teams are being punished for it. Maybe there is something to that because 2 years in a row, a play-in team has won it. Has won the lottery. The Hawks won it last year. The Mavs won it this year. Maybe it's a subtle message to the league that, hey, take things seriously. Win as many games as you possible. Play as hard. Don't try to game the system here and try to basically tank your way to the top pick. It's not going to work. But maybe there's something to that. But I think what would solve all this, just do it in front of everybody. And with how cynical people are now, even that would, you still have people say, oh, it was rigged. I remember the year when Ewing won. I don't remember it, but I remember the stories of when Ewing won, they're saying the envelope was frozen and that's how Stern knew to pull it out. I don't know, but at least if you did it in front of everybody, if you pulled the ping pong balls in front of everybody live, that would silence some of the doubt. I'm not in a rush to fix it like everybody else and say, oh, you can't include these teams, just give it to the worst team. They don't want this league to become more of a joke than it already is in the regular season. They don't want, especially a year when you got Flagg or Wembanyama, where these teams are basically going to put in not even a G League team, but just a joke of a team and try to win six or seven games, try to win as few games as possible so they get the pick, and everybody racing to see how few games they could lose. They want some credibility, and they want to diminish your incentive to lose. So I get that. I understand it's something, there is something odd about Charlotte and Washington and Utah, these teams that are awful. Not only do they not get the top pick, they don't even get in the top three. I get it, but tough. I mean, you're rewarding, not even mediocrity, you're rewarding bad organizations, bad decisions, losing, and that stuff shouldn't be rewarded. I understand you want to balance it out, but to me, there's nothing wrong with. I like the idea. I think it's fun when a decent team gets the number one pick because he goes to a good situation. It doesn't. He's not going to rot in some bad team. I was kind of rooting for Brooklyn to get it. I'm not sure why, but you put Flagg in a situation where he's on. Look, Kyrie's hurt, but he's with two Hall of Famers. He's with Kyrie Irving. And he's with Davis. That's a fun team. They're going to be good right away. Now I know Kyrie's hurt, so he's not going to be back right away. But I don't mind it. I'm not in a search to fix it. I do have one eyebrow raised at the fact that they won this with a 1.8% chance and everything that happened before that. But ultimately, I'm curious what JVT thinks. We'll ask him coming up. Ultimately, like, I wouldn't be shocked if you told me there was something nefarious going on, but ultimately I side with this was on a level, and maybe I'm the naive one, but I just don't know that they'd risk rigging it. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but I just don't think they'd risk rigging it. I think it's just too hard to manipulate too, with all of the injuries, and they still a game out. I don't know. This dates back all the way to February. This was going to be rigged for flag, and they missed the playoffs by one game, even with these injuries. It seems far-fetched. So I'm not sure. But the other story, flown under the radar a little bit, the Spurs get the number two pick, and they also have the number 14 pick, and they are now in prime position, if they want to trade for Giannis, to basically win any bids with Giannis. They might have to include Castle. I've seen Spurs fans, well, I can't give up Castle. Fans are funny with these trades. They want the best player. I mean, he's like about second or third best player in the league. They want to trade for him, but they want to trade for him on their own terms. Famous, you know, WFAN calls where they want to trade, you know, every lousy prospect they have for your best player, your two best players. It doesn't work that way. They're going to ask for Castle. Houston's got enough of an offer to probably create a bidding war, and you probably have to include Castle. But man, if I can have a team with Webb and Giannis on the same court, and you throw in Fox, throw in whoever else they can keep, a trade of Castle, the two picks this year, maybe one next year, and then another player here there. To me, that's enough to get it done, and I actually think it's going to happen. Spurs are down to 25-1 at DraftKings. I would still take that just because I do think Giannis is going to the Spurs. And if that trade does in fact occur, what does that number look like? 7-1, 8-1. I understand there's a possibility he goes to the Rockets. There's a possibility that Milwaukee says, you know what, with Tatum's injury, the East is now wide open, and the East is really going forward much more wide open with the Celtics. Who knows what their salary cap situation, no Tatum next year, how they're going to handle next year. Do they approach it like a gap year and just try to tank and get a good pick? I don't know. That creates a lot of questions. So it was a fascinating night, that Monday night, with the lottery and the Celtics-Knicks game and everything that happened. I still think it's probably in Milwaukee's best interest, and it's obviously in Giannis' best interest, to just go somewhere else. And I do think that somewhere else is a very good chance to be the Spurs at 25-1. But coming up next, JVT will get his thoughts on this. The games from Tuesday, look ahead to Wednesday. That is next. This is Should Have Been More Podcast. All right, we are back. The Oklahoma City Thunder with a defining win. The Pacers eliminate the Cavs, come from behind. Let's break all of it down. Catch them, VSiN, money moves. It is the great Jonathan Von Tobel. JVT, I guess we'll start with what we just watched. OKC answers the call, I think down 80-68. Really good game. I would say a great game, but OKC pulled away, 8-0 run when it was tied late. I wanted to see a really exciting finish. Didn't really care who won, but your reaction here is OKC is now up 3-2. Is it too far to say the winner of tonight's game is going to go on and win the championship?
Yeah. I mean, like, because look, the field looks very soft at this point right now, and the Thunder, I think, are very clearly the best team left in the field. So I think it makes some sense that, yes, the winner being the Oklahoma City Thunder looks like they're going to go on to win the championship at this point right now. It might be tougher than I think maybe many of us expected. I kept calling and will continue to call the Western Conference the Oklahoma City Thunder Invitational, right? You're all invited to compete, but there's only one champion, and that is the Oklahoma City Thunder. I still think that'll ultimately be the case, but maybe it's a little bit more of a grind. But once you get whoever comes out of the East, that's a very winnable NBA Finals if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Minnesota Timberwolves. But the Timberwolves, as we could talk about, have been less than impressive in their series against Golden State, despite a very commanding series lead. But I'm with you. I thought tonight was tremendous, and I think it's a really good test, or at least answers to the questions for OKC. Dude, these last two games, to nut up the way that they did down the stretch and to put the clamps down defensively against the Denver Nuggets in both games, come from behind, grab a win, get really tight on defense the way they needed to in clutch time. I've been impressed with these last two victories for OKC.
Anyone you want to crush Denver maneuvers here in terms of personnel strategy? Dagnall, even though he won, any criticisms?
No, I guess if we're going to do small criticism, it's going to, I think, ring a little hollow just because he did end up having 44 points and an incredible three-point shot that looked like maybe it was going to swing it in his team's favor. But I think that if you're running Denver, you're probably giving Jokic a little bit of rest in that fourth quarter. I mean, look, dude, it's still every other day. So you burned Jokic for 44 minutes here today in a series, which has been absolutely grueling. and now you're playing again after just one day off back at home. I feel like you got to give him a little bit of rest in the fourth quarter. It seems very desperate to go ahead and actually do that. And I thought that that was kind of one that if you looked at it, and this isn't in retrospect, I even think even if they had won the game, I would still have the same criticism with David Adelman, that I think you give Jokic a little bit of rest there in the fourth quarter at the beginning of it, only because this series has been a grind and you're going to need from him as much as possible from him coming up on, let's say, Tuesday, so on Thursday.
Destined for seven. OKC's laying 4.5 here on Thursday in game six. Is this destined for seven? Or did that last couple minutes break Denver here, who's got a lot of resilience, champion, all of that things, and they've shown that resilience in these last couple years? Do you think OKC closes this out in six, or what do you think going forward?
I think they can close this out. I think one of the things that Oklahoma City has very consistently done throughout this entire series against Denver is they played them well defensively. Jokic, outside of today, in the three games prior, had been very, very rough. They're throwing the kitchen sink at him, and he was having a tough time handling it. They've done a pretty decent job containing some of the role players. Of course, this couldn't happen in the last series, but Russell Westbrook is no longer Ray Allen from the corners, so that has kind of helped here because he was hitting every single three-point shot against the Los Angeles Clippers. Not so much the case against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Again here today, offensive rating for Denver in non-garbage time, 108.2. It's a very below-average number, a 31st percentile. So I think if you can continue to do that, if you're Oklahoma City, right, defend at an extremely high level, contain the other pieces around Nikola Jokic, who is now fatigued, I think, after playing 44 minutes. I don't know if they cover well, but I think they're at a pretty good shot or pretty good spot to get this thing done. We should also note, though, as both road teams cover here today, that this has been one where home court advantage has been a little overvalued by the betting market. And so road teams performing pretty well. You would think that maybe if that trend continues, that would mean, of course, that OKC gets it done on the road.
OKC now odds on favorites to win the title, minus 130 at DraftKings, which kind of saw coming. They were plus 115 earlier, and I was doing the Fox pod with Bear and those guys. I said, if you think Denver's winning tonight and they're 10-point favorites, this is probably your last chance to get them at plus yep. money to win the whole thing. And now that is flipped to minus 130. Cavs Pacers. We can get to these other games here shortly, but Cavs Pacers, how shocked are you that the Cavs go out like this? Is it just injuries? Is it deeper issue? What are your thoughts on that game, that series?
I think it's a mix of both. I think that you'd be a fool to sit here and just say, Pacers are great, Cavaliers stink. Like, hey, look, Darius Garland was clearly unhealthy. When you're watching that game down the stretch, they'd bench him when they were closing that game out because he was just giving them absolutely nothing. He's wearing a special shoe that's like holding his toe in place. He might need surgery on the toe. He's very clearly injured. But at the same time, the Cavaliers deserve to be criticized, I think, Will, for their lack of overall energy and at times blasé way in which they have played. I mean, look, dude, if they don't blow that game two, again, they were very beat up, but they don't blow that game two, this series is still going on. You have a chance to win it. But you see just like little things here and there. And I thought there was one possession in this game that like kind of exemplified what I'm talking about. Beginning of the third quarter, if you remember, Donovan Mitchell gets a steal, and he's got a runway to the basket. But he stops up for some whatever reason and can't get the shot to go in. And I think it's blocked by Miles Turner. Max Strus, I believe, then comes up and gets the rebound and goes up for the putback. And he stopped as well. And it was just Indiana just going balls to the wall. Just know every single loose ball, every single thing, we are going to go 110% because we want to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. We want to win this series. And there were many times that I thought the Cavaliers should have been way more desperate than they really were. I mean, dude, look over the weekend. That was embarrassing. How do you go out to Indiana in that game four and lose the way you do? Absolutely quit, especially after getting Benedict Mathurin ejected. I thought there were little things that were very surprising for Cleveland that they should be heavily criticized for, and some of it had to do with their effort and energy in a very important series.
Let's get to the games tomorrow. Celtics, 4.5-point favorites. We've seen this before in the NBA where star players out, the rest of the team steps up, you get a better number on them. And I do think the Celtics, you could look at it and say, you know, the pressure's off of them. Everyone's kicked dirt on them. Maybe they come out and they play a good game. They're kind of in the underdog role. The problem is, from a betting standpoint, they're not being priced as an underdog. You still have to lay points with them. I would only look towards taking the points with the Knicks. Do you have a feel for this game one way or another?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it kind of mirrors a little bit of not to a like the extreme that we saw today, but I do think it mirrors Cleveland and Indiana just a little bit, right? Like I talked about this on Money Move today, where I was like, dude, there's nothing that is telling you Cleveland should be laying 7.5, 8 points. There's nothing that tells you that that should be the difference between these two teams right now. And I think we're like, that's the same thing here, right? There's nothing that tells you that this should be a number that is being posted right now for Boston. Outside of one thing, and I think this is fascinating. Despite the fact that they are down 3-1 in this series, they have a plus 3.1 net rating. Like they have completely outplayed New York throughout this entire series, and yet they're on the verge of getting eliminated. But I think the big problem is Tatum not being out there. And I brought this up with Stormy today too. In the regular season, Will, without Jason Tatum on the floor, the Celtics outscored opponents by 8.7 points every 100 possessions. This year in the postseason, they are only outscoring their opponents by 0.4 points every 100 possessions. Jaylen Brown has been atrocious in this postseason. He is shooting 30% from three. He is barely, I think, scraping 40% from the floor. Brown has not shown up really in any way, shape, or form. Kristaps Porzingis is still dealing with whatever this mystery illness is. He gave him 24 minutes the other day, so I think he's slightly getting better. But if Brown's not going to wake up, what are you expecting here for Boston? I think it's hard to realistically back him.
Would you expect, let's just assume it is Knicks and the Pacers. And do you discount Boston completely from coming back to win the series? And if it is Knicks Pacers, what does that series line look like? I would imagine the Knicks are small favorites considering they have home court advantage.
Yeah, so two things. To answer your first question, the Celtics are deep enough and good enough from beyond the arc that I wouldn't be surprised if they have the ability to like extend the series out, win a game. They're a historically good road team, right? We have seen that with this iteration of the Celtics that they can go into road environments and win. Would you and I, and I'll ask you, would you be shocked if we're talking about a game seven between these two back in Boston? I don't think I would be.
I'd be a little bit surprised, but it's just the way that sports work and the fact that everyone has
Right.
already mentally advanced the Knicks the next round. I wouldn't be. It's just strange things happen. And then, like I said, all the pressure's on the Knicks now in a weird way, even though they're the underdog in the series. Now, if they don't get out of the series, now it's a really, really bad performance from them. Now it's like this is like one of the all-time chokes. Not only you're up 3-1, but Tatum's out. You got to get this if you're the Knicks.
Yeah. Like I don't think I'd be like shocked if we're talking about a game seven, but I think ultimately this is one where even if they extend it out, I would expect the Knicks, despite the fact that they've actually been pretty subpar at home, to get this thing done in a game six, should that be the case. To answer your other question, so I made the series price Knicks minus 140 against Indiana. I talked to Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate Superbook. That was the exact price that he had as well. And he said probably within like a 10 cents of that. So maybe Knicks minus 150 if the expectation is that they're going to get a little bit of support. But I think you can expect Knicks about $1.40, $1.50 favorite or somewhere in that range.
Yeah, humans asked me on the show tonight. I said Knicks minus 145. So I was in that range too. He was thinking more like $1.80. I thought that'd be a little bit high. We don't have to
Yeah.
spend too much time. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, if you're going to price it like that, give me a piece of the Pacers.
Yeah.
They're averaging well over 30 bench points per game. The Knicks are at the very bottom of it in the postseason. They don't have that much depth. I think over the course of a long series, Indiana's ability and depth is going to get them that series. Like, even if, like, because I think minus 140 is perfectly priced, but I would still lean toward Indiana winning that series. Again, home court's been nothing in this playoffs. Knicks haven't played well at home. I think the Pacers are more than capable of going in. Although, I don't know if you saw was it Keyshawn Johnson? They were talking about it today on whatever show he's on. Will the Pacers be intimidated by the guarded environment? Will they be able to overcome playing in front of the New York fans? Which I think is hilarious. But either way, I think that the Pacers will be very live in that series.
That feels like a seven gamer. To me, that feels like a seven gamer.
We deserve it. We
Yeah.
deserve a seven game series. I mean, I think that's going to be a great series. It's going to be a ton of fun. It should be well played. And you're right. Like that, I think both of them, like if we get what we expect, which is Minnesota, OKC, and then Indiana and New York, that should be two very hard fought long series.
We don't have to spend too much time on Minnesota Golden State. I thought once Golden State lost Curry, I thought they were unlikely to win another game in that series. It seems like that's going to be the case. I would look to lay the 11. I would go back to Warriors team total under, even though it didn't hit in game four. Minnesota has not been ultra impressive here, but some of it is just the human nature of, all right, we know Curry's out. We can kind of turn it on and turn it off when we need to. So a chance to get to the conference finals, being at home, I think they probably win and win pretty comfortably. Do you have anything in terms of a bet in this game?
Nope, would agree with all your points, especially on the team total angle here. Look, every number screamed it to us before Curry got hurt. When he was off the floor, the offense was awful. Even with Jimmy Butler out there, it just wasn't really going well for Golden State. Offensive rating for the series so far, 105.4. They've been outscored by 5 points every 100 possessions. It's been rough. Like you said, I haven't really been impressed with Minnesota's offense. At times, I think it's been lack of execution. A team that really looks like, hey, we know, right? There was that great clip of Anthony Edwards getting guarded by Gary Payton, and Gary Payton was mic'd up, and Anthony Edwards tells him, he's like, I know what you're trying to do. So you're trying to win one and extend the series and get Wardell back, huh? And Gary Payton starts laughing and he tells him, he's like, yes, yeah, the plan. they even know that they're really up against it. And I think the Timberwolves do too. So maybe back at home, they'll be able to close this out with relative ease. I wouldn't really buy it, but I still think they win that game and get that thing done.
All right, let's have some fun. If somebody tells you, and I'm sure you've heard this the last 24 hours, the lottery is rigged, you tell them what?
I respond with a question, which was, when did the rigging start? Was that before or after the Kyrie Irving torn ACL?
Yeah,
was that before or after Anthony Davis hurt his groin 5 minutes into his game? I think you and I were on the air when Anthony Davis, it was a Saturday. Yeah. I remember that. Like he gets hurt like, yeah, 10 minutes into the game against, I think it was the Rockets or the Nets at the time, whatever it was. I think it's absolutely foolish. I also think, if you're any one of these owners, why would you agree to get railroaded by a rigged system? Again, we go back to all of that, right? Like whenever you talk about Jerry Jones of the Cowboys losing a game on a last second call and everybody calls it rigged, why would a Jerry Jones agree to that? Why would any of these owners agree to that? You apply any sort of logical pressure on an argument like this and it completely falls apart no matter where you look at it.
And I brought up the same point. Davis gets hurt. Kyrie gets hurt. They're still one win away. If they beat Memphis,
correct,
they're in the playoffs, and there is no rigging. So what? Kid gathers them up. They draw up the game plan. He says, oh, by the way, guys, I can't tell you why, but you guys have to lose this game. We're getting flagged or something. I mean, it just it wouldn't – the juice wouldn't be worth the squeeze, and it doesn't – it's far-fetched.
What I also add, and I thought this is a great point many people brought up, and it's one I thought myself. So let's go back to, like, for example, the obvious one, which is Cleveland getting the lottery rigged for it for LeBron, right? So they can get LeBron. Why, if the league wanted to, I can't believe we're talking about this, if the league wanted to rig it for Cleveland to get LeBron and they wanted Cleveland to be successful for LeBron, wouldn't they have given him like three more like top three, right, picks, right? Wouldn't they have rigged it so that he actually had a good team instead of going to the finals once his first time around just to get swept by the San Antonio Spurs, having to leave for Miami and then come back? Wouldn't they have wanted the darling child to win a title in his first stint with Cleveland and never leave, as opposed to letting him drag guys like Zalgakis or whatever, I can't even remember half the roster there, and Delonte West to the finals? Like, what are we doing?
Jonas Ilgauskas, absolutely.
Yes, there you go.
Well, I think went on to play for the Warriors in one of those finals. It's those teams had a habit of like trading some of those fringe players back and forth. They would go back and forth, those yep, some of those guys. All right. Last couple things on the lottery. What the system? A lot of complaining that, oh man, the Hornets, the Wizards, the Jazz, these teams are not, it's not fair to them. I have no problem with it. Don't tank, don't suck. I get that there's something to the fact that, you know what, the draft is supposed to balance out the league and it's not doing that. But if you created a system like the NFL or Major League Baseball where the worst team, or I don't even think baseball does anymore, the worst team gets the number one pick, the sport would become a joke. You'd have these teams winning 4, 5, 6 games, picking people basically out of the stands to play in these games. Nobody wants that. So I'm fine with it. I don't know if you think there should be some tweaking in terms of the percentages where these decent teams have a shot. Some people think all 30 teams should have an equal chance. If I make you the commissioner, the czar, what is the lottery system? What is the correct lottery system?
I leave it as it is. I think you hit the nail on the head. When you ask people, what's the point of the lottery? I think they confuse the purpose of the lottery with the purpose of the draft. The purpose of the lottery is not to give these bad teams a chance to rebuild. The purpose of the lottery is to de-incentivize tanking. And guess what happened this year? The Washington Wizards and the Utah Jazz, two teams who set out this year to tank for the first overall pick, finished outside of the top four. Screw you for trying to lose games on purpose. This is the lesson that you learn. And a team like Dallas was actively trying to make it into the postseason, was actively trying, ends up with the first overall selection. Now, there's always going to be outliers, right? Like, for example, the 76ers this year got gifted a top pick because they tanked. That sucks. I don't like it when teams like that benefit from doing something like that. Having said that, all of these teams that went into a year trying to tank the second the year started, they got screwed. So I don't understand. It's funny, like the same people that complain and bitch about tanking were also the same people like, this is unacceptable. Like, well, what do you mean? Like, this is exactly what you should want. The Jazz got screwed. The Wizards got screwed, and they deserved it because they were tanking from the beginning, and that's what the lottery odds do now.
Yeah, and I like the fact that you get one of these generational prospects, and he's actually on a good team. He's playing with two Hall of Famers at Kyrie and Davis whenever Kyrie gets back. You know, there's a whole ESPN 30 for 30 about Weber and Shaq being the same lottery. You know, they traded, if Weber got traded and it was Penny Hardaway, but it's fun. All right, you put Cooper Flagg and Wemby together. It's not fair, but you know what? That's a lot of fun. So I like it. I have no problem with it.
And I'd also like, and I think this is a fair, I guess, it's not even a criticism. The fair point I think that people aren't happy with is the West again gets another very big player.
Yes.
Like the East is devoid of talent. It might lose Giannis Antetokounmpo this offseason. That looks like it's going to be a conference that is very bare for a long time. I understand that complaint, but there's nothing you can do about that.
And that brings me to my next point. And I guess my next question would be, first of all, does the fact that Tatum's no longer in the mix here for next year, do you rethink it if you're Milwaukee and say, hey, maybe we hold on to him, maybe we don't need to be that good and we can win? Or is this past that point with Giannis, and ultimately, where do you think he ends up?
Yeah, I think it's more so about whether Giannis thinks that the door's open, right? More so than Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee, no matter what, wants to keep him. But if you're Giannis, do you look around and go, okay, Tatum's out next year, maybe we can do this, maybe I can make a run? But I just don't think that's plausible with the team that they have. They can't realistically improve that much. So really, you're just going to go to bat with the guys that like were playing with you the last eight games of the regular season and the beginning of the series against Indiana. Do you think that group's going to get you anywhere? Because it was getting you smoked, right? They were getting crushed in that series by Indiana with or without Damian Lillard. So I just don't think it's realistic. So ultimately, where he ends up, I think, is going to be pretty fascinating. I think the market is getting it right in saying that Houston and San Antonio, not in that order, are the two most likely places to land his services. I have been beating the drum that I don't care if Oklahoma City wins every single game moving forward and sweeps their next two opponents in the Western Conference Finals and the NBA Finals. They should call. What's the point of acquiring all of these picks and these draft assets? The point was, when a star becomes available, you go and get him. And Giannis should be in an Oklahoma City uniform. I think this is unlikely, but it is still a possibility. And we just saw a 1.8% chance hit in the draft. And it ties into that. I would not think it's crazy if he ends up being a Dallas Maverick either. The Mavericks willingly shortened their championship window by trading for Anthony Davis. They screamed and told all of us that the time to win is now. And by building the team that they did with Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, and others, I know you're laughing, but I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world. They've also reportedly coveted Giannis for a very long time. And if there is a time where you would ship off the first pick for Giannis Antetokounmpo, I don't think it'd be the craziest thing in the world. I think it's unlikely. I don't think it's improbable. And I don't think it's the craziest thing. They're talking about it, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was one of the talking points on some of these shows. Would you trade the first pick for Giannis? It's not crazy. It comes down to how good you think Flagg is. If you think Flagg is a top 10, top 15 player at his age, you don't make the deal. If you think he's good, but I don't know, 3-4-time all-star, good player, not a great player, you certainly think about it, because Giannis is despite the age, despite the fact he's had some injuries, he's second, third best player in the league, and those guys are just hard to get. Yep. I ultimately wouldn't do it and don't think they would do it. So I don't think they will do it. Right now, your best bet, he's on this time a year from now, this time 6 months from now, Giannis is on what team?
I think the Thunder are going to win the finals. So I don't think it's going to be them. They should, but it probably won't. So I'll say San Antonio.
That's where I went. I bet them Monday night to win the title.
25-1?
40. I looked at 45. Wow. I texted a couple people. Oh, 45. That's interesting. It checked 3 minutes later. It was 40. I said, you know, I'm not doing this. I took 40, and then it was 25.
You want to bet that you'll hate yourself about?
What's that?
That I'm totally down with? You could get the Philadelphia 76ers at about 40-1 to win the NBA Finals next year. Dude, the East is going to be so open. Obviously, the Celtics are much thinner. Giannis could be gone. If they're healthy, again, it's an if. But that Eastern Conference looks pretty open, man, for at least the top three seed.
What's the craziest team that could be in the Giannis, man? Could Boston conjure up some Jaylen Brown, Derek White draft picks? Could Philly get, is there any like long shot, or is it just the OKC, Houston, San Antonio, and that's about it?
I think it's, I don't think it's impossible, but Indiana could fall short in two straight Eastern Conference Finals, right? And Giannis would fit pretty nicely with those guys if he were to ultimately end up there.
What's that deal look like, though?
That's the problem, and the question is, what does Indiana have to use to go and get him that's enticing enough without dipping too much into the core that they have? I think that ultimately becomes a pretty big question about it. But having said that, I never doubt what these teams can ultimately string together to go get a guy if they really want to put their heads together and make it happen. So I think it's a long shot, like you're saying, like, right, what's with this dark horse? Who could it be? A team that falls short in the conference finals two straight years with a big fish. And again, I'm not assuming that they're going to fall short. I'm just saying if they do, I think that's something that Indiana could convince itself that they potentially try to go and get done.
Dalton Connect and a lightly protected second round pick to the Lakers. I think that make a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, I think Milwaukee adding a first round pick to the deal and sending it over with Giannis in that deal because the Lakers have to take on that albatross of a contract would probably be it too.
And whoever doesn't get Giannis, like say you're the Spurs, and I agree, they're the favorite for it. Who knows? You have to include Castle maybe, but that you're gonna have to fork over a ton of assets, picks. The Spurs fit that. But whoever doesn't probably goes after Durant, right? Whether that's Rockets, Spurs. I mean, Durant's going to be on another team next year, I would think.
I think Miami probably.
Okay.
He
Boy,
like he's
what
really
does that
cheap.
do for him, though? Does that where Durant
Nothing.
wants to spend the last 2, 3 years of his career? Miami? I don't
I
know.
mean, I don't think so, but I don't know where many like
I
the
know.
Rockets have publicly said that he doesn't really fit with their timeline or jive with what they want to do. I mean, Memphis is a team that's got some assets, so
Yeah.
maybe he goes to Memphis, like they finally bite the bullet and say we'll pair somebody up with Ja, especially somebody that maybe could be available for us, but I think Miami's probably the favorite for KD. I'd also throw in there the other potential team for Giannis. What about Cleveland? You just got annihilated here. I don't know if Darius Garland is like the guy. Donovan Mitchell seems happy there, and to pair him up with somebody like Giannis could work.
Again, what are you giving me if I'm Milwaukee?
I think you're probably including Garland, Allen, something else. You got some picks as well. I
Doesn't
think you
do it
probably
for
string
me.
something together.
I think I'm calling it elsewhere. I'm not hanging up, but I'm calling elsewhere. I need more
Oh
than
yeah, for sure. Look,
I
like
think at that
again.
point, I'm just keeping him. Even if he's mad at me and he wants to, he comes in my office every day and say, "Hey, trade me." I say, "You know what? I can't do it for Darius Garland and Allen." I know it's not bad, but the Spurs package of some
Mobley.
Castle, yeah. I guess it'll be fun. Look, it'll be a great offseason. It's been a great
Yeah.
playoff. The injuries are too much. Boy, you can get down the whole rabbit hole of shortening the season or whatever. I mean, Curry, Tatum, Garland, these, it's too many. It's too often, too, in these NBA playoffs that the injuries kind of mar it. But it's been a great playoffs, and we're going to have a good offseason, I think.
No. Matt Humans tweeted out the other day that the NBA playoffs have been fucking trash. And
Is
I
that what
wanted
he
to res-
said?
Oh yeah. I wanted to respond
Nah,
like,
they've
Matt,
been
did you
good.
watch your first game today?
Nah, they've been good.
They've been
I was
great.
excited for the games going into the weekend. The weekend games were slightly disappointing. Like the
Sure, of
OKC Denver
course.
games were good, but other blowouts, but it's been good. I made the comparison. Like usually the NCAA tournament is all upsets and buzzer beaters and all that stuff, and the NBA is chalk. They kind of switched this year. NBA has just been batshit crazy, and the NCAA tournament was pretty straightforward.
Dude, so really quick to two things to that note. First off, you're right. Like the weekend stunk, but like as a whole, there was like a 4 or 5 day stretch where every single game you were going, "What the fuck did I just watch?"
Yeah.
Right? Like it was incredible watching them, and all these games have been pretty tight. Road teams in this postseason, as we kind of hit on, 31-30 straight up home teams are. They're 29-31-1 against the spread. So home court has been absolutely nothing. Median result at home has only been 1 point. So home teams have not delivered at all. And then you have this stupid ass zigzag theory, which has been hitting like freaking crazy. I believe if you have bet the straight up loser, you are now 32-16-1 against the spread. Just betting the straight up loser in the next game. It's been absolutely wild. That number hasn't mattered. These teams just bounce back with regularity. The straight up loser zigzag has been absolute money, and that has led to some of this absolute nonsense that we're seeing here.
All right, JVT, this was fun, man. We're almost down to the final four. Appreciate the time. What money moves, and where else can we find you?
Money Moose, now new weekly column up on the website every single week on Tuesday mornings at VSiN.com. This latest piece I wrote, you might like. I did find the Rangers at +325 to win the American League West, so I did bet that, wrote about that, and some other stuff. So you can check that out at VSiN.com.
Are you keeping Stormy's ego in check every day?
It is a hard thing to do.
It is.
But I think that's why they picked me.
You're the man for the job. JVT, appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Thanks, dude.
All right, that'll do it. Goldboys.com is where you can find the Discord. Rate, review, subscribe. Be back Friday. See you then.